make you know, make the mountain pretty steep to climb. I don't know. So welcome, Karen. Karen's in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning,
Karen. Good morning, pal. Anyway, so Donna, I was just giving her a rundown on our correspondence, basically, that we'd had for our listeners, and asking her to see if she wanted to comment on the school system and the opioid epidemic, or anything else you want to say, Donna, you can feel free to you know, expound.
Absolutely. Okay. Good morning, Donna.
Hello. So do you want me to respond?
Yeah. Yes,
okay. Well, yeah, I agree that there is a high correlation between poverty and addiction. So you talked about a lot of things. I'm trying to formulate a response. I guess, you know, I took John Unger's training for recovery coaches training.
Grace, I think it's called.
One of the things that I remember that stands out the most from the training is that addiction is a disease of isolation. And not that it's the cause of, you know, all addictions, but it is a big factor. You know, a lot of people become addicted because of medical reasons. You know, they start out using pills because of you know, for pain. They're diagnosed and then they become addicted. And some start out as recreational use, but there is a strong correlation between addictions of all kinds and isolation. So that leads me to, you mentioned about schools, and I am an advocate of teaching communication and interpersonal relations in schools. I believe that we've lost those abilities to communicate, the written language. There's very little time spent teaching writing or speaking and interpersonal relations. And I believe that feelings are looked down upon, that in the public education system in general, especially in high school, sorry, I have this cold. Anyway, I feel that, you know, it would be wonderful if we could come back to a time when we would teach things like teaching students how to express their feelings and having that supported and welcomed and not looked down upon. Does that make sense?
As a sign of weakness or a sign of you're not here for business, how dare you be emotional, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, but also just teaching assertiveness training. I worked for a short time at Eastridge Mental Health Clinic as a mental health therapist, and I worked with a full range of people with a range of diagnoses. But the core of the treatment that I gave was around assertiveness training and teaching people how to, you know, say what they want to say to get their needs met. And I believe that a lot of the problems that in the public school system, as a teacher for over 30 some years, the students that aren't able to express themselves, that haven't, you know, maybe their family background, they don't communicate very well. Pain and depression come out in the form of anger. And that's more socially acceptable for young people to show anger than to express to their friend that they're hurting, they're upset because their, you know, father left, or you know, any of the life circumstances. So it would be wonderful to have a shift back to people being genuine with their thoughts and feelings and having that accepted and not looked down upon. It's hard to focus.
No, I understand.
My head congested.
I heard that. I was, you know, like I did last week. You know, I had the cold when I went to see a girl from the North Country. And so, some of the songs just were so emotional to me that, you know, combined with the cold, I just started weeping, you know. And so that made it a little tough for my people in the seat next to me, but whatever.
I'm going to start weeping if this thing doesn't go away. So I feel your pain too, John. I was literally last night going, oh my gosh, tomorrow is 2 weeks since I've had this crud. Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks for me.
Yeah. So I think we can all feel one another's pain. John, you have to tell me about Girl from the North Country that was on my list of to-dos before I got sick. And I'm sure everybody was glad you took your illness there and shared it with them in your weepy state.
It was really bad.
When you have tickets,
I was completely covered my face, and all, but it was still, okay. I was like, it was pathetic for a few minutes there.
Well, you know, Donna, I know that you've spent so much time, you know, in the classroom and seeing what is actually happening. You know, I haven't been in the classroom in 2 decades. So part of me is glad for that, because I do have a sadness about where things have gone as far as interpersonal relationships between peers and even between peers and mentors, teachers. So I think you really hit on something there with adolescents kind of being out in a sea of lost space that is just, you know, everything they do socially and emotionally is on their phones, and it really robs them of these authentic, you know, emotional connections that we're talking about. And that is one thing. I don't know if you got to watch the documentary Game Changers. I did appreciate that they actually compiled a group of students who spoke, who talked to one another, who talked about where they were coming from and their feelings and opinions about it. And I thought it showed a respect for them and a respect for wanting to know what they thought about this situation. That was one of the good things. It was a pretty intense, you know, that interview, John, brought up so many issues. There was one point where, you know, I wasn't sure what rabbit hole we were going down. And the one that really struck me was when you brought up poverty, and that immediately turned to, well, yeah, if we hadn't taken all of the coal mining jobs away in these small towns in West Virginia, everything would be okay. They, you know, there wouldn't be poverty. And I thought I was going to fall out of my chair. But I think what it highlighted for me was the huge problem of addiction and where it does cross so many socioeconomic and personal stories. There is still, you know, a whole another elephant in the room where there are a lot of people like Joe, who was gracious to come on our show and is doing good work in his capacity to do good work with the knowledge he has. But, you know, there's the story is so much bigger, you know, and the problem is so much bigger. And that's where I think Donna and I agree on this kind of, I speak of it as a sense of hopelessness, you know, where the human spirit is losing hope. And I see it even in adults, you know, kind of adopting this passive, hopeless, like throw your hands in the air attitude. So I really think across the board, you know, take all of the tentacles of reasons why addiction happens, I think the overall umbrella has to do with the human spirit. And that affects all age groups and you know, socioeconomic groups. And that's something I think, you know, I don't know how to solve. It's just, it's a conclusion I've come to. And I miss that. I miss, you know, conversation that is real. I miss, you know, I mean, I have conversations in my head because, you know, it's the classic, you see somebody in the grocery store. Yeah. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? How are the girls? You know? And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, if you only knew what the last 24 hours of my life was like, you know, you would grab me up in your arms and give me a big hug, you know?
Right.
So, but, you know, luckily I have my own personal support system. You know, a lot of people don't. And, you know, I still get down. Of course we all do, you know, and life is hard. And, even when things appear to be wonderful, and I can't imagine being an adolescent now where that is stripped away. I mean, I had real conversations when I was 16, 17, 18 years old into my 20s. I had a great group of friends. We would talk into the night, you know, talking was, you know, remember how, you know, you'd have the phone with the cord and, you know, it's like 5 hours later, you're still laying in bed on that big receiver. Well, and so it was a part of life then. And I do worry. I do worry about that disconnect, and I think it plays a greater role across the board than we think.
It's going to be a rough year, probably. But let me ask Donna another a little bit different aspect of the. Maybe it's related to the poverty question. I don't know, but the budgets of school boards. Obviously play an important role in, you know, how, you know, their ability to recruit qualified teachers, good staff, and, you know, and be able to provide support services of various kinds, and presumably improve the quality of education in at least a number of different dimensions, depending on how the leadership in the county really feels motivated to go. And I'm told that salary ranges, for example, in West Virginia, I think they're set by the state mostly, not by region. But anyway, in Jefferson County are shy of Loudoun County by a considerable amount of money, and also Washington County in Maryland. And therefore, there's a constant pressure on, you know, being able to retain, you know, skilled people because they can, you know, make $10,000, $15,000 more by driving a little bit farther. So what level, and, you know, so what is the, if we really want to improve the education system in Jefferson County, I mean, it always ends up being a complicated political equation. I remember when Carol and I, we moved to Morton, Pennsylvania, which happened to be in the Swarthmore School District in Pennsylvania, which was the people that ran for the school board there, almost everybody in the town had kids in school. I think there must have been a high proportion anyway. And almost everybody that ran for the school board had, you know, college degrees, you know, and education very advanced, and they had a big interest in quality and having a national school recognized, and they had the teachers all had degrees in the subjects they were instructing in, as well as whatever educational degrees they needed to have. And most of them had master's degrees, and so it was cool. You know, the school felt proud of itself, but the county, and the county, or the little, the area, it wasn't more just part of Delaware County. But down in Chester, which where the median income was a little lower, but not dramatically. It just was more skewed. Problem was is that the population was weighted heavily toward retirees, and they ran for the school board for only one purpose, and that was to cut their taxes. I mean, that was their incentive. And they got on there, and didn't take very long before the teachers got all upset, and there was a strike. I mean, even though they were supposedly illegal, it was a big sick out, a big problem. And then they had to have a whole political crisis in that area before they solved it. And I don't know that they ever did. So here we are in Jefferson County, and elections are coming up for school board. I didn't know that until you just told me before we signed on here. And what should, you know, people who... I mean, we're going to have a lot of new retirees in the county, and they're usually higher income actually retiring here with recently. If you look at the developments around the county, you can see that. And so I assume that there might be pressure coming from those kind of interests, not to, you know, to restrain school board spending, you know, at least out of their pockets, kind of thing, you know. And on the other hand, people who are living here and want to raise children and get them educated so they prepare them for useful work, they're going to feel the other way. What do you think we should be looking at in the elections? What's the most important issues for either group, retirees or parents, to think about?
Well, retirees ought to be concerned about the quality of the schools, because the children are going to be taking care of these retirees. Students that I had are now nurses, and I don't know who's a doctor, but I know several that are nurses, and they work in the community. And so it's important to have an educated community. And I personally would prefer to have the most educated, or at least people with strong logic and reasoning ability living in my community. So that's one thing. I think that right now we're in a transition in Jefferson County because we have a new superintendent. this superintendent seems to have the qualities that are needed to transform the school system. And the main quality that I'm, what I'm thinking of is valuing respect for the employees. And that's been something that's been neglected in Jefferson County. You know, I don't know, 20 years ago, there was competition for teaching jobs in, you know, everywhere that there were good school systems. Now, you know, it's the opposite. And I think across the country, administrators are realizing that they have to show respect and show that they value the teachers who are still there. So this new superintendent seems to put employee morale at a higher place over, you know, his personal values. Right. What was your question? I'm sorry. This What should we be
one of the
thinking?
problem, yeah, my real question is do we need to so if we are going to vote in May, is that what you said? May?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. May. Okay. Is this issue at stake? I mean, there must be others who think differently, for example, than you about it. So.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think the finances are the issue because, like you said, we get the funding from the state. We do give extra, you know, from the levy checks. And so Jefferson County gets to pay teachers a little bit more. But I think a lot of people initially, they leave because they don't feel respected. And it's just that much easier if there's higher pay. And I think that once we start treating teachers with respect, and the rest of the staff, and not just administrators teaching with respect, but we need the parents and community on board. A lot of teachers are leaving the profession because there is a disconnect between what the parents want and what works in the schools. There's, we don't want
what's an example of that? What's an what's an example of that disconnect?
There are rules in the class that everybody has to follow so that learning can be accomplished. But, you know, Johnny, you know, has a situation at home and he likes to call out and distract the class, and the administration doesn't really want to deal with that. So they blame the teacher, that the teacher can't manage the class, when the truth is that with no support from the administration or the parents of Johnny, that, you know, it used to be Johnny's parents would say, Johnny, you need to go to school and learn. And we don't want to hear from the administration anymore. I'm trying to be politically correct. So.
No, it's okay. So we get a picture of what you're talking about. That's all right.
Yeah. So from my perspective, a problem related to, and I know the legislators don't like to hear this because they get blamed for issues in this state with education, but there is one that I think that could be proven. And that's the fact that there is this scorecard, West Virginia scorecard. And one of the things that schools are evaluated on, or districts are evaluated on, is like school referrals to the administration, number of times students are suspended. That lowers the scorecard. And right. Another one is graduation rates and attendance and academic achievement. Mm-hmm. So if you can't make it on academic achievement, then some school systems have boosted graduation rates. So right. They will advertise that we have all these graduates, but they just pass through. And that's something that,
right,
I believe it comes from the legislation. That, and the other one is not disciplining students, that comes from the state. But again, there's a shift. We have a new state school board president, and he seems to be wanting to hold some of these school districts accountable and, you know, shift the way things have been done.
I got
you. Right now there's a lot of transition, but in the meantime, I think showing respect and value for the school employees. And I'm really hopeful that this superintendent, I've already seen some of the things that he's done to show support for the staff. And, so I think that's I think a lot of the, in the past, some of the staff have felt like they were walking on eggshells. And I think there's a lot of, they feel more at ease and more comfortable doing their job. And I mean, the superintendent that we now have has a lot of experience. He actually taught in the public schools. So right. That is important because yeah. He knows what it's like to have been a teacher.
Well, I think something that you touched on that I can probably address because I'm not an employee, that is just a blatant disconnect. It's kind of archaic and old fashioned to ding a district because of referrals to the administration. You know, in the modern day and in management philosophies that work, your administration is part of the team. Your management is part of the team. So of course you go to your management when there's a problem. That makes sense. So for a school to get dinged because they are referring children to administration is kind of counterintuitive. You know, that's silly because the administration should be there in 100% support of a fluid and successful classroom. You know what I mean? So I think that is such a kind of really backwards philosophy to you know, have a referral to administration be a detriment. That should be a good thing. That should show that administration is part of the team and the team has tiers, you know?
Yeah. My intuition tells me that's a product of lawsuits. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. for example, I mean, just take disciplinary action. Okay. I mean, it's no secret that in certain areas that could have a racial aspect to it, for example, or some other, you know, thing. And, you know, all of a sudden the lawsuits start and, you know, administrative government bodies, they don't have much. What is their defense, you know, in a way? You know, if they start throwing people out of schools, then there will be lawsuits filed by people who, you know, said that was unjust, blah, 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 blah. You have huge legal expenses that start to mount. And you can see why people start to make rules that end up, you know, shooting yourself in the foot in a way. So I can see, you know, it's... And I think you're right, Donna. It would take courage for a leader to hold the line because there's going to be some costs, right? If someone's been mm-hmm. covering up performance because of the loopholes and the way the rules are structured, you know, which probably have a legal history to them, I'm almost sure they do. Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, if you expose them, are they going to be able to correct it, you know, without, expelling a whole bunch of people from the school, or are they going to be able to hold the line without having it start to mount costs? That's a tough thing, and so I commend. Is it her or him? I don't know, the superintendent, the state school president. Is that a person?
Yeah, I agree. I'm very hopeful with this new, and we have a new superintendent as well.
Right.
I'm not sure. I haven't heard a lot from her, so I don't know. It's, you know,
hard
less
to say.
Than a year.
I heard to say. What about collective bargaining rights? It's not going to happen under this legislature, but you know, do you think that that the teachers should have collective bargaining rights?
I feel like we need something. Teachers need something, and the union situation in West Virginia. I wouldn't even call that a union. I mean, they help with giving some advice and they might represent legally, but the way the laws are, it used to be that schools were required to hire certified teachers when a certified teacher applied over a sub. But now the legislators have been able to they've changed the wording a little so that you get points, we'll say, you know, grading in an interview, and maybe they can call the sub more qualified. So some school districts have been hiring subs over certified teachers, and they're able to justify this because of wordings in the legislature. And I don't know if I changed the subject.
No, you did. Something yes, you I understand. Said. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't mean to, but I think that that's, so that's something that our current superintendent is now looking into. I had requested an audit, well, many times in the past. And then we got some of these committees together, and one of us was the HR committee with the Jefferson County School System. And this committee recommended an audit of the HR department and, you know, hiring practices. So that's going on right now. It's, they did the first set of interviews, the 18th or 19th. So interviewing the HR department at Jefferson County School Board. So that's another thing that, you know, the superintendent was willing to, pursue. So I'm hoping, I guess it was you saying somebody brave enough. I think that that, you know, just coming in and being willing to look at the facts and to at least find out what they are, what, you know, what goes on, and to try to improve the school system.
Right. Right. Well, I think that's a, it's obviously going to be a tough year. I mean, the elections are coming up, and the divisions in the country are not good. I mean, West Virginia is one example, but there's many others. And so the likelihood of reaching consensus doesn't seem likely to me, at least not right away. I don't know how, and I see the lots of inflammatory stuff, you know, directed against science, for example, in some areas, and against and the history of our country. You know, let's cover. I mean, I remember when I went to school in Virginia in the 50s that the Virginia history textbook skipped 1860 to 1865. I mean, they just didn't mention it. And you know, not to mention, was there ever an indictment of slavery in any of those textbooks? No, not in Virginia. And that was state policy for many years, okay, before, you know, the upheaval of the late 60s. So that has to be a tough environment for teachers. And I now my last question actually to you, though, is the impact of the pandemic on teaching in the schools. Is it being, I understand that all school districts, the whole population of the country set back, their children were set back seriously by a year or more. In terms of national testing and whatever evaluations. Is that true here? And is that getting better? Are we recovering from it?
According to the test scores, you can see them on the state website. There was already a decline in Jefferson County before the pandemic. So, in some areas, they have started improving. I think the reading test score for the high school, that's one that came up, the 11th grade overall. Does that answer your question? I wanted to say something about the racial issue. I don't know
how
much time,
yes,
but
please
you
do.
Brought it up twice. And when you said about maybe that's a reason because of issues with discipline and maybe related to race, it reminded me of the fact that there is a lot of racism in this state and Jefferson County. I mean, my children had their mixed race, and they went through a lot of racial discrimination. But one thing in particular, at the state level, you know, twice a year, the school board members get together for education seminars. And during one of these, there was a group of male board members from a county in West Virginia, and they were sitting around a table talking, and I was at the table next to them, and the man was talking about a horrible fight between these two girls, and that these issues came to the board, and he was describing the fight, and he said, and these were white girls too. And when he said that, it made me realize that there is an underlying assumption that, you know, black girls are going to fight, I suppose. I assumed that's what he meant.
Yes.
And nobody flinched, you know, at his comment. And I was offended by it. And I did say something to the organizers. There wasn't any sort of public announcement or addressing of the issue. But anyway, I was going to mention that. And the other thing, I grew up in West Baltimore where the riots were, and it was predominantly black. I went to Harlem Park, which, you know, I don't know if you know Baltimore, but anyway, I never learned about white people. I never learned about George Washington. I won the Black History Contest every year. I knew about all the Black inventors. And so it's hard for me to relate. I have a different view of, I think that all history should be taught, especially related to things like slavery and women's rights and the Holocaust. I mean, there are people that still claim that the Holocaust didn't happen. Anyway, I didn't. Do I still have time to answer your other question?
Yes, you have as much time as you need.
Oh, okay. And so you were talking about the pandemic, and yes, you know, so as a school board member, we are supposed to rely on what the administration tells us. I, you know, have a natural tendency to go find out for myself so that I can ask the right questions when we get to the board meetings. And so I know that, you know, there was already a downward trend before the pandemic, like I said, but there is some, you know, increasing, but across the board and listening to other teachers, it's definitely been harder. It did set back test scores or student learning. You know, it's really hard to say specifically in Jefferson County by how much. I think that there was this period of things were lax. There wasn't a lot of accountability. There wasn't accountability, maybe because they didn't know how. You know, I don't know the reasons, but just getting students, just the teachers learning how to use the online platform to teach students, learning how to make students accountable for attendance. So it was a steep learning curve, I guess. So that in itself caused a lot of setbacks with learning. But I think that, you know, just by circumstance, we are naturally headed back. improving scores. Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It does.
That's, I mean, it's good news to hear that there's a upward curve in that direction, because I think there was a general concern about just this complacency in education. I think more on the students' part, so just kind of getting used to sitting home in their jammies, and, you know, kind of not being challenged in that way. And it could have gotten really bleak quickly if it had to go on much longer. So that is good news to hear that it's kind of correcting itself, that there it is on a path of self-correction.
Well, so we have the so are you have a competition in the yet for your job in May?
I don't know. I'm hoping that some people will run. So right now it's me and Mark Osborne. It's our two seats that are up. We're both Shepherdstown. I think that it's hard to be politically correct, and I'm trying to be transparent, and that gets me in trouble on the school board. I would like to have, more people that are knowledgeable and willing to be independent thinkers, because right now it's, from my perspective, the three-person majority makes all the decisions, and I don't like this five-person board member arrangement, because like I said, it's the three-person majority that pretty much makes the decisions. So
I gotcha. Right.
I would like to see some strong candidates. Right now, I feel that I'm the best person to represent, to be a board member. So that's why I feel like I would like to run again. If people come along that are, and I know they're out there, that are more qualified and more willing to fight for our employees and students, then I would gladly, move over to let them in.
I hear you.
I am passionate about education and children, and I've just been fighting for education and children's rights for a long time. So,
well, as it gets closer, we should have you back on in a month or two and kind of follow the progress of how the school board race
right.
is going.
Yeah, if you get some competition or other people get involved, then maybe, and of course, as the campaign develops, maybe some of the issues that are at stake will become a little sharper. And
we'll know January. I think by the end of January, we'll know who's registered to run. But I haven't really heard of anybody. I don't even know if Mark Osborne's running again.
Right.
Okay.
I know it's going to be a tumultuous year to get anything politically coherent. Anyway, thank you so much, Donna, for joining us this morning. And we've all been through this cold that you got and that Karen's had, I bet. Anyway, at least I wasn't crying today, so that helped. Anyway, but thank you so much.
Well, it's
for
great to
us.
See you.
You too.
Okay, and thank you, Donna. And okay. John, I will talk to you soon.
All right, everybody. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.